So welcome, dear friends, to another episode of the Universe podcast. I think I'm going to start with an apology. I'm sorry, this is just me. It's a bit of a solo rant. Why would you be doing that, Rick? Maybe a kind of arrogance, hope not. It's more to do with facts like, I feel like I need another podcast. And banal things like, I've got a new phone and I want to test it. But also, I feel like I've got stuff to say about writing, actually. Sports writing, but maybe going broader than that. So sit down, plug in, and let's try and ramble through this. And I apologise, it will be a ramble, you know that. You know it's going to be pretty unedited and ad-libbed, mostly, and hence shambolic. So apologies in advance for that. Subject matter, as I say, probably writing mainly, but it might be anything from WT20, I've just written about that, to futurist painting, to God knows what else. Those are the kind of zones that I meander into. Yes, again, some of you will know that. But look, let's start with writing. If one writes, darlings, therefore one surely is guilty of showing off, yeah? It's a kind of fabulous, dangerous kind of posing, inevitably. My own genre, I like to think, has got a medium-sized lump of mischief in it, which I hope takes out of some of the pomp that I know I'm very conscious is in there. And I think I'm probably known for taking absolutely diabolical liberties with the English language, make things up, shockingly so. So if you wanted to put a label on me, you'd probably sting me with something like kind of extremist, expressionistic or other or something, all of which sounds shockingly pretentious and may well be. I'm aware of that stuff, actually, but let's ramble on through this. Let me tell you something, because it's true and it's honest and it's fair, and I like it. Recently, and forgive me, I'm not going to be too indiscreet here, okay? Recently, an editor that I really respect, never met him, but and like, gave me what was a fabulous, legitimate dressing down over something that I sent to him on spec, I think, from memory. And he described it, amongst other things, as unsubbable, which I love that word, unsubbable. And I get why completely, because it's loony, because it's all over the show and it feels completely unreined in. So I understand why he said that, it does figure to me that probably many or most cricket writers who've got any idea who I am, who've ever read anything, may well view me probably legitimately as either bad or mad, or both. And do you know what, I can absolutely live with that. I hear it, I understand it, and you know, I'm not entirely a paranoid kind of fellow, I think, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's what people kind of think, or many people think, and that therefore, and I'm not just talking about this particular editor, it would be natural, in inverted commas, for people to view me as completely unemployable because of that perceived kaleidoscopic loony tuna dump thing that does several things to me, actually, in a way. All this, that view of me inevitably makes me a bit angry, in a way. Why wouldn't it? I know that I work as hard as other people, in a way. B, it makes me rather proud, actually. It makes me smile, makes me laugh. C, it makes me look to the writers that I like, and just off the top of my head, a couple of those guys would be Paul Heywood, Barney Roney, neither of whom I've met, both of whom I kind of actively support. Does that sound pathetic? I hope you know what I mean. I don't mean that in a sort of arrogant kind of way, again, on social media, because I kind of really like their style. They seem like really good people, and I like the generosity of what they do. They are artsy, probably, but yeah, I like their style. I'm also, I have to say, personally, more than slightly grateful to Paul Hayward, who I said I've never met. Who early doors, when I was writing on Bowling at Vinny, at Bowling at Vinny, bowlingatvincent.com, kind of gifted me the accolade of, and I'm trying to quote it, he said something like, Rick is a free thinker, rare these days. And why wouldn't I like that? I really did like that. And I felt like he got something about what I try to do. And I reciprocate in, and you know, from a much, from a humble kind of viewpoint. I know Paul is, you know, top level, but I like his style. Now then, why am I going on about all this? Because our voices, the range, the quality, that spectrum or spectra, is it? I find really fascinating all this stuff, and I'm inevitably challenged by it. I'm also inviolably clear that my own writing, for what it's worth, feels just honest. It just feels like how I receive the universe or sport or art or whatever. And so here's a maybe a strange sounding one. I think I write to reflect as accurately as I can. In other words, it is for me a kind of real social document, ironically again, despite the fact that I know it's got this mad, wonderful, I don't mean that big-headedly, I mean full of wonder, and it's kind of stained glassy and tessellated, and it's got a disconnectedness thing about it all, because that's how I see the universe, that's how I receive things. But why am I going on about this? I'll tell you why. Because I'm still really mulling over what the genuinely respected, and again, I'm not being patronising at all, the genuinely respected journo Ian Herbert, whom I do know, who I really like as a bloke. I know him medium well, Herbs, and I think he's a top fella. And he said in a previous podcast, when we discussed journalism, sports journalism, in so many words, he said he hates fancy writing. And that nearly is a quote. And so I can't help but imagine, as an example, he hates Barney Roney's writing. I don't know, and we didn't go there, he didn't say that, but it would be logical in a sense to imagine that he hates that, and therefore he would also hate what I do. Not that I'm comparing it to Barney Roney. He would hate it because he's such a solid, committed bloke. And that figures. Absolutely figures. And I can buy that from him entirely. I'd still love the old bastard because he's a good guy. He, you know, and I really like the idea that he is clear, so clear that good journalism is kind of honourably straightforward. So report and offer three new nuggets of information. He's very big on that. You know, don't kind of faff about. Don't get clever. Do that job. Report it and bring to your report of the game, whatever it is, three new things. That's your kind of generous, that's your professional addition to what's actually happened. And I love that, even though it's absolutely mauling everything I've ever done or stand for, or not, I was going to say feel comfortable with, but no, not that. I love Herbs. He's a great guy on a personal level. He knows, I think, I want him to get out of the mail rapidly, return to straight journalism. We talked about that, and that was really interesting. So please do go back on the podcast. Can't remember what it's called. You'll find it. He wants to get out of sport because he dislikes the arrogance, can I use that? The sort of, he's a demystifier of stuff in a way that, as I say, I really respect. He wants to get out of sport and go back to what he thinks is more real, i.e. he started on proper straight journalism, and I hope he does do that and crack on with this magnificent crystalline thing that he's got out with that intact. Finally, on that, well, it won't be finally, but I should say, look, do question, Rick, do you think of yourself as a journalist? No, I don't. I really don't. And forgive me, I don't think that is arrogance. It may sound like it. I hope it's some form of self-awareness. I really like the term bloggist. It's daft. It's maybe a tad left field-ish, maybe. And you can take it as seriously as you like. So, if people ask me, I say I'm a bloggist. And let them make up their minds what they think about that. Do you know what? Can we stay with this? I'm going to stay with this because it feels right. So, I hope 4 of the 5 or so of you who listen to this might be interested in this writing thing. So without being indiscreet, I'm going to ramble on about some of the guys and gals I've met, I think, in the media centres, because that's really kind of delicious and it's quite new for me. Some of you will know, but can I reiterate that weirdly, I have fluked ECB accreditation for the last couple of years. Still don't know who to thank for that. You have to apply and put in stuff. And I put in stuff that was probably supported by my job, Cricket Wales, and maybe somebody from Cricket Wales, bless them, said, yeah, Rick is kosher. I don't know. Probably Brian Carpenter, bless you, dear boy, if you're listening. I hope you are. Again, who I've never met, but who writes brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly on many things. But he's got a specialism. He's got a thing going with Wisden where he reviews annually the blogs that he likes or he thinks that are making a contribution. And bless his cotton socks, he said, he put me in there and said some things that I appreciated, particularly because I kind of thought that he got it, what I was trying to do, and he was supportive. So, of course, in my application, I'm putting this out there because there may be others of you who are thinking of trying to get it, try and get ECB accreditation. I'll go on about this a bit more in a minute, but you can do it. I did it. You are probably better writers than me with better knowledge. But anyway, I've fluked it for a couple of years so far, and that does mean I can swan into media centres alongside the TMS, ESPN, Posse, all those guys and gals. And know what? Honestly, I've just got... that is such a treat. A, to be with some of those people, but more particularly, if you've ever walked into the media centre at Edgbaston, for example, I mean, that's pretty close to as grand as it gets in the UK, certainly, literally awesome, just fantastic. I've been to the last 2 finals days there and something else, which I'm probably going to forget typically, but just walking in to that media centre, for one thing, bless them, they look after you fabulously, so it does feel like a real treat on many levels, but aesthetically, in terms of the environment, what you can see, wow. Just fantastic. I've also been dotting around to places like Taunton, Worcester, Bristol, Safari Gardens, Taunton and Worcester to see Women's Internationals this year. As you might expect, as you might know, de-bloody lightful. Much smaller scale in a way, and what they offer is very different, but unique and great. I actually like Bristol too, kind of more modern. I nearly said blander, but that would feel a bit unfair. I like Bristol, and I do like the open sky thing it's got going on there. So, yeah, I've been there 2 or 3 times again for women's matches. And Sophia Gardens, again, is frankly relatively bland, but like it, feels like home. I say I work for Cricket Wales, so I go there a certain amount to do training and stuff like that. All those places, it's fab, it's rich, it's great. And I genuinely feel privileged to have that kind of access. Anyway, people, and I'm pausing here because I'm slightly wondering about that. No, I'm not going to be indiscreet. I'm going to tell you about people I've met and I like. Let's do that. Writers and commentators, probably. I'm going to start with George Dobell, who's an important figure, actually, for several reasons. And we'll maybe touch on that. But the writing thing. There is, for me, something consummately brilliant about George's writing, his work. And I really like that there's a lesson too around that, because just me, I'm not sure, my expectations have kind of been, or I've kind of associated top level writing with just with certain broadsheets. Not true, really not true. George, and he's not alone on it, ESPN Crick Info, is absolutely top. The writing is fabulous. And moreover, and more importantly, actually, having spent a little time in his company, I can tell you, I'm pleased to report, I think he's a really good, generous guy. Been really generous to me. I know, sorry, this is personal and therefore indulgent, but I'm going to tell you, I think he's a good man. As is his colleague, Melinda Farrell. Sorry, she's not a good man, she's a fabulous woman. And I also really like and rate her. And yes, I'm saying this partly because they've been generous and supportive of me and my daft little blog. But it's beyond that. It's bigger than that. They are really good professional writers and presenters. And I rate them both. In terms of how they work, or George, I'm just picturing George now and Ed Buster. I've seen him several times, met him, and we have talked. We're not great mates, but we have talked. We've sat together and had coffees and meals and whatever. Interesting to watch. You know, the media centres are interesting places. Georgie boy, kind of generally, joins in the banter quite a bit. And he watches, as does everybody, but they do that in different ways, inevitably. You don't see George writing all that much live. That's my feeling. I'm not trying to... there's no edge to that. It just feels how he does it, and maybe goes away or hides himself away and writes more later. I'm not sure, but that's how it feels. Other people that I've met and feel like I know more than a tiddly bit. Daniel Norcross. Fabulissimo, really like the man, and again, this is personal, inevitably, and inevitably, I met him because of him supporting my blog, retweeting something, bless him, I can't remember what that would be, he's done that once or twice for me, and then we met at Edgbaston, and what was great, and struck me, and I now know it's pretty typical of him, he genuinely kind of welcomed me in, and I don't know if I looked a bit like a sad new boy. I don't know. I think I was past that stage a bit, but the Norkster not only said hello in a tokenistic kind of way, but gathered me in, wanted to say hello and talk. So we had a coffee and talked 20 minutes or whatever, and we make a point of saying hello to each other, or have done on subsequent meetings at various places. Again, genuinely good human, and this matters, yes, but check out the fella's writing. For me, his commentary, his contribution is outstanding, a brilliant mind. You can smell that a mile off, can't you? It's just obvious that he's got a rich knowledge of many diverse things, and I really like that. I know we're talking cricket, but how great to be able to bring in zillions of other things. Just probably block him if you're on Twitter when Strictly's on. He tells you to. I don't block him, but it's quite funny. He's an absolute fiend for his Strictly. T'other fella, I'm going to mention briefly again, rate him. I think he's an awesome worker. He's got great knowledge. And I do like the fact that he's a powerful supporter of women's cricket. I'm talking about Adam Collins, Aussie guy, young fella. Probably met him 3-4 times plus or minus, yeah, at Women's Internationals over last summer. And actually, it's true, sadly, that not many people cover those. So I go to those, and there are 5 or 6 of us plus or minus. Not many, as opposed to 20 or 30 for, you know, men's games. Adam, bless him, is all over that, and he's committed alongside the also lovely, I always call her Rav, because Rav, it would be Rav in Welsh, Raff Nicholson, yes, and Sid, her partner, lovely people, really on it, really genuine, really committed. And they follow the women's circuit more continually than anybody. Again, bless them for that. Pint of beer for that. But Adam does likewise. You know, he's there and he's on it. And he covers it in 15 different ways. And I really respect the way that he did the ridiculous broadcasting thing with Jeff Lemmon in Dubai. Yeah, yeah. Oz Pakistan took a big gamble on that, I'm sure. Hope he didn't lose a bloody fortune. May have made a few quid, hope he did. He really loves the game. He's genuine and he's driven in a really good way. I like him, I respect him. And yeah, work ethic like you wouldn't believe. Tremendous. Does lots of the non-stop stuff, as well as the kind of slightly end of the day's play, 2 minutes reviews. So these are some of the voices I've got to know a little. And forgive me if that's all shockingly indulged. I just thought some people might be quite interested. If you kind of push me about it, I might say that there is, inevitably, question mark, something. I'm slightly uncomfortable. That probably overstresses the point. There is a slightly middle-class grammar school boy thing that you're aware of in the media centres. Bound to be, right? I hope that doesn't sound too critical. I know it says much more about me and the zillions of chips on my shoulders. I was comprehensively school educated. I'm kind of defiantly proud about that. Pathetic but true. If anybody's interested, Matthew Umberston, Comprehensive Cleethorpes, in case you're wondering. But look, the media centres, yeah, they have a really interesting, I was going to say diverse, in some senses diverse ambience thing, but in others not. But I personally feel really privileged to have the access. You do get looked after like you wouldn't believe, you ordinary punters. It's fabulous. The view down the pitch is a treat. And you do actually get a seating plan when you go in. And I often take a picture of it because I quite like the idea that I'm sat next to all these famous geezers. I can't, yeah, it's true. Sorry. And so you're supposed to sit in a particular place. But if I can get away with it, I go straight down the pitch. Because why wouldn't you? Because then you can see how far Shrubsole is swinging it. You know, it's just absolutely fantastic. Glorious, glorious view. And actually, I can't quite believe that hardly anybody else seems to rush to that place. I do, if I can, if I can get away with it. But you're in a cocoon. Of course you are. Big glass box. That's also, you know, A, false, B, illusory, but really interesting, and interesting to see people react to that, to deal with it, to do their daily work in it. Those of us in there, despite what I've said about that kind of clique, and that's overstressing it, I regret that word already. You know, there is a wonderful, kind of ludicrous, different posse as well, and you know, my own thing, if you've ever read any of the blogs I've written, I tend to be, what, I mean, how unsurprising is this, I am, picture me there, I'm blasting away like a maniac, ball by ball, nearly always frenetic and kind of twitchy, but that is just me because it's how I feel it's coming in, how I'm experiencing it. Most seasoned pros don't do that at all. They watch longish episodes and then write. So writing, because I need to sum up. Okay, let's try and do it. Writing feels for me, and this, we're all unique, and I like that about this. And it feels like something to do with the imagination, something to do with how things sound and feel, and about what it's like to be there in this game. Now most of you will now guess that I love arty-farty stuff. I love painting, and I love what you'd probably pretentiously call the creative arts, eek. And I think the writing is one of them. Of course it is. Surely it is. So you know, I can't keep using that word, but I am, therefore, friends, I am heavily drawn, personally, to, for example, Barney Roney. And I'm also, I really like this thing, the utter opposite, that Ian Herbs, from Ian Herbs, that sports journalism maybe needs a kick in the pants, that it needs to get real. He wants to kind of get out because of these feelings. He's absolutely clear, fascinatingly clear, that it needs to stop being so precious. Barney Roney's absolutely t'other end of that. I'm very much with Barney, as I think you're probably guessing, because I love that. Inspired, honeyed, colour-tastic, imaginative thing that he's got going on. Wow, fantastic. Doing that and reporting the sense of the game as well. Awesome. Right, look, far too much. Thank you for allowing me to indulge. I'm off. You have been listening to Rick Walton. I am Cricket Man Wales. And I bid you farewell and hope to speak to you soon. Cheers.